cannot forget.
A plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Our very freedom came under attack.
Never forget.
When I think of 9/11, I think of tragedy, sadness.
97.3.
We will pass this test.
The sky.
Good morning and welcome. It is 8:06. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes, as we remember and will never forget. 23 years ago, 9/11. Last night, debate took place. Kamala, Donald J. We're going to talk about that further. But first, we've got a special guest joining us, Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Coming to you from our nation's capital here in D.C.
Well, we're glad you're rising and shining to be with us today. We do appreciate that. I'm going to tell you two words. They're dirty words in your book. What is going on today with the House vote regarding CR?
Yeah, this is, I tell you what, this is absolutely the definition of insanity when you do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. This is madness. And, you know, this week we, again, started the meetings, and I've been in the Capitol meeting with the Speaker and my colleagues talking about the fact that we have already passed the SAVE Act, which is the bill that requires proof of citizenship to register to vote. What they have done is attach this bill, which again has already passed the House and is languishing in the Senate, to what is called a continuing resolution, which is effectively a rubber stamp of all of Nancy Pelosi's spending policies and priorities with no cuts. And there's a couple of things to consider on a CR. As someone who, again, take this from the perspective of someone who doesn't support CRs, hasn't voted for a CR, and absolutely despises this way of crisis management. The CR, they are trying to kick it into March of next year, which is creatively set up so that it doesn't go past April, because April is when we would have an automatic 1% cut that was put in by Thomas Massie. This would absolutely do nothing to stop the rise of our national debt. This would actually cut funding from our defense programs, and it increases the non-discretionary funds, and we're looking at $35 trillion of national debt. This is ludicrous. And the thing that is so frustrating to me is that we have already passed the SAVE Act, and we know full well that the Senate will not pass this CR with the SAVE Act, nor will Biden sign it. So in the words of my friend Thomas Massie, this is political theater. This is political theater. And I cannot stress enough that a government shutdown, and I know so many people listening are saying, shut the damn thing down, Kat. The government shutdown will do two things. It spends more money. I know that's shocking, but it's the crazy way Washington works. It will actually spend more money, but we also lose the national election. So these are the things we're contending with today. You know, very a stressful day that we're working on here.
And let me ask you this.
If
the SAVE Act, let's just say it passes for argument's sake, could it be implemented in time for this election?
That's the thing, is the reality of implementing it for this election is, I don't want to say fantasy, because we've seen stranger things happen. However, I think the majority of people who will be voting in this election have already registered to vote. So will it be the difference maker that people think? No, because it will ultimately end up in litigation. And that's something that no one's talking about, is that there's already lawsuits being drawn up to fight this by states that want to keep this practice on the books. So it wouldn't be a difference maker for this election, and it feeds right into the political theater that I was just talking about.
So what are you going to do? Hold your nose, vote for the CR, because, you know, it's between a rock and a hard place? It's going to hurt either way?
You know, the thing that I've learned is you've got to absolutely keep your powder dry and keep your cards close to the vest, because there are things that are constantly changing in deals like this. And so I could get to the House floor, and we could have an addendum to what the plan is. We could, you know, have a completely different package before us. It could get pulled from the floor. So what I do know is that we can't continue spending at this rate. And I do know that the SAFE Act, while it is great legislation, it wouldn't have time for implementation as we would hope. So that's pretty much where I'm at. I'm sorry for the non-answer, but last thing that I want to do is get to the floor and have a completely different package in front of me and then be like, oh, well, now this is a different story.
Well, my concern is if the SAFE Act isn't passed now, that could impact the election negatively. You could have a lot of illegals voting in this election, and that could sway it to the Democrats. And if they take more power, continue having the White House, executive branch, and maybe the House and Senate, we'll never see a SAFE Act, let alone a lot of other things.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the thing, though, is, you know, if we do the SAFE Act, if we are able to pass this off the House floor, there's no guarantee that the Senate will do so, and then even a lesser chance that Biden would sign this into law. Or he could just drag this out and they would play political games with our national security and economic security, which, you know, the left has been known to do. So, you know, I think we have to be really thoughtful and strategic in how we approach this, because there is a much, much bigger game that, I hate to call it a game because it's not, but, you know, think about the national security implications of having Kamala Harris as president for not just 4 years, but for 8. You know, we're looking at this election as, holy smokes, we've got our national security, the future of our nation, the soul of our nation, $35 trillion in national debt. There's a lot at stake here. And so I think that it's easy for folks to say, well, this is what we should do. When you've got a 2-vote majority, every vote matters. And it's got to be thoughtful, strategic, and principled. The other part that no one's talking about.
In the debate last night, do you think former President Trump did a good enough job when it came to showing just what a mess the open borders are, fentanyl, human smuggling, crimes committed by illegals? He touched on some of that, but I didn't hear him, and maybe I missed it. Did he talk about the clear national security issue by having open borders right on the eve of the 23rd anniversary of 9/11?
You know, Bob, it's funny. I actually was thinking the same thing. I didn't hear a single mention of 9/11 last night. And certainly I was watching the debate thinking, well, it's hard to be on offense when it's 3-1, right? Mm-hmm. He effectively was forced to be on defense the entire evening. And that's unfortunate, because at the end of the day, you know, his policies were absolutely the ones that made our country safer. And with the open borders that we've seen under the Biden-Harris regime, we know that there are new terrorist cells that have been stood up here in the United States. Iran is absolutely sending foreign nationals through Venezuela on Venezuelan passports through the southwest border. Uzbekistan, we have absolutely seen terrorist cells from Uzbekistan that have now been found in places like Philadelphia. You know, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, no one talks about how the Taliban emptied out the prisons, and we now have actually got intel that shows that some of those prisoners from Afghanistan have been caught in the United States. They came up through the southwest border. The open border crisis is so real, and it impacts every single one of us every day. And you hear FBI Director Wray say, it's not a matter of if, it's when another massive terrorist attack happens on our land. And so, yeah, I thought there was a lot of missed opportunities, but I also put that in context of he had an opponent and 2 moderators working against him. So I think given the circumstances, he did the best that he could. But certainly, I think it was a wash. I didn't feel that we came out particularly better than the other side in last night's debate, despite the fact that she lied through her teeth and was over-rehearsed. But the American people need to see more, and that's why I'm encouraged for a second debate.
I think she should go into acting. She should get an Academy Award. She seemed very believable, even though just weeks earlier, many of her policies and positions were different. But, well, we'll get into that and other issues the next time we get to chat. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thank you guys for covering it, and never forget.
You got that right. It is 8:16. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 9/11 Remembered next on 97.3 The Sky. Let's make it a great day. Come on. It's a somber day, though, nonetheless. It is 8:21, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. 9/11 Remembered. Can you believe it? 23 years has passed. And we'll mark it at 8:46, 25 minutes from now, 24 minutes, Flight 11. It's when it crashed into the World Trade Center's North Tower. Of course, all the passengers on board instantly killed. Employees of the World Trade Center are trapped above the 91st floor. When that information first came out, Americans were shocked, but maybe not overly concerned. Looks like somebody probably took a small plane. Perhaps the guy had a heart attack. Something happened. Tragic nonetheless, but nothing that's going to change your daily routine.
Or the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And now we know it turned out differently. All right. Good morning. Welcome. And, Greg, I want to get your take on a bunch of stuff as well.
Sure.
But let me, I just want to go back a little bit because Congresswoman Kat Kamick and I really agreed that, you know, something was missing in the debate. Mm-hmm. And one of those things was any question pertaining to 9/11 when it was on the eve of the anniversary. And are you telling me that voters have forgotten about it? I don't agree with that. Do you think younger voters are as familiar with it as they should be? No, I don't think they are. So it would serve a couple of purposes by bringing up 9/11. And I can tell you why they didn't. Think about it. If you're skewed and biased the way that David Muir and Lindsay Davis were, and ABC News is, and even RFK Jr. said, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
They were clearly biased, okay?
Uh-huh.
So when you put all that together, why no 9/11 question? Here's why. It's the same reason that the media wouldn't jump on the fentanyl poisonings that were taking place by the tens of thousands early on when the borders were first open. They wouldn't talk about it the way they would normally because it is a big deal. It's a human interest story. It could be your college kid experimenting, taking a drug that he thinks is not that big a deal, and it turns out it's full of fentanyl, and he dies. So they couldn't talk about that because they knew most of that stuff's coming across the border, so we can't go there. It's the same thing with 9/11. 9/11. So in a post-9/11 world, shouldn't we be concerned about terrorists coming into the country? I mean, it's pretty hard right now to control that using the visa system and other things to try to get background information and, you know, and to try to vet some of these people. It's already difficult. And then you've got the terrorist watch list. Well, guess what? When they opened the borders, yeah, they caught a few people that were on the terrorist watch list. How many did they not catch? Because they knew the borders would be overrun and that our border patrol would be overrun. Mm-hmm. And not just physically overrun with paperwork and cleanup and housing people and doing that kind of almost domestic duties instead of protecting the border. So you can't ask about really 9/11 mm-hmm. and not talk about the current true state of affairs when it comes to national security. And that would lead to saying, Kamala, you know that this would be the easiest way to close the border, an executive order yep. based on national security. That's when the executive branch has the most power. When there truly is a national security issue. And who could deny that? Nobody could.
Well, we don't even have to worry about the paperwork you mentioned, Bob. If you got the app, you're in.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other thing.
So.
But the other part of this is, in this equation, mm-hmm. is Iran was rendered pretty much impotent during Trump's time in office.
Yes.
One of the reasons why was, well, he wasn't continuing to give him money from some frozen account or anything else. He also got us so energy independent, brought the cost of energy down, that Iran couldn't make nearly the kind of profits that they are now.
Right.
And so you have all this additional funding to do what? They're the state, number one state sponsor of terrorism. You talk about 9/11, you have to talk about terrorism. If you talk about terrorism, you have to talk about Iran. No matter how you slice it and dice it, anything related to 9/11, anything would benefit former President Trump and would definitely be a bad mark on Kamala.
Hmm.
You can't be for open borders and also be for national security. It's impossible.
No.
It's impossible. And I don't know if you heard Congresswoman Kat Kamick talking about real life, real bad people that they already know are in this country. I mean, what did it take? 19 to wreak havoc?
Mm-hmm.
What if there's something slightly more organized? What ran through my mind when I was having that conversation with her was that, is this going to be part of the October surprise?
Mm.
Will there be some level of a concerted effort to, let's just say, go to polling places and shoot the place up?
All you'd have to do is go to one.
Well, or
two or three.
One or two, you know, major cities and then maybe a small town.
Just to stir everybody up.
Well, to create fear and panic, and I'm not going to go out and vote. It'll be maybe too late to mail in your ballot. And who always votes the latest? Republicans, always. So, you know, on the actual election day or, you know, the weekdays previous when there's early voting, something occurs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not that far-fetched. It is 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The fracking, the big fracking lie she keeps telling. We'll get into that and more coming up. All right. Never miss a minute of the Bob Rose Show on demand 24/7. Subscribe to the Bob Rose Show podcast. You can do it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, it's our music.
Yeah.
We got to keep it rolling. It is 8:35. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 9/11 remembered. Let's not lose sight. Let's always remember. And just a few minutes from now, 8:46, when Flight 11 crashed in the World Trade Center, the North Building, and that's, you know, when people were still scratching their head.
Ah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonder what that's all about.
Where were you at that exact moment?
I was in the doctor's office when my, you know, my former wife was getting, basically, I believe, getting a cast off for a broken ankle.
Oh.
And we knew the doctor, Dr. Nowicki, because I played softball with him for Orlando Orthopedic.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know each other. And because my wife worked in the medical industry. Anyway, you know, he comes in and he goes, hey, this bizarre random thing. I guess some kind of plane flew into the World Trade Center.
Mm.
And I go, wow, like a big plane? He goes, yeah, they're not really saying.
Right.
So, and then they come back in again a few minutes later and go, hey, another plane hit the South Tower. That's something real. By the time we got back down to the car, we had already cut away on the station I worked for, DBO in Orlando, to ABC News, you know, kind of wall-to-wall coverage at that point. And actually, it was Peter Jennings still on the air, if you remember him. And he was the one that was, you know, breaking it live and on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to say initially. Your brain is going, we haven't been here before.
Right.
This is new.
Right.
What am I to make of this? You know? And your brain starts to run through this gamut of things that it's familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just a simple plane crash now.
Right.
It's two. This would appear to be a concerted effort. This mm-hmm. sounds like terrorism. And then your brain starts to race and goes into, well, do you think it's just New York and just the World Trade Center?
Exactly.
Is it going to be a bunch of planes going down into big buildings and large cities,
mm-hmm.
et cetera? And yeah, the mind just really starts to race. And I recall days afterwards, there was still a feeling with most people that it wasn't over yet.
Right.
There were still additional mm-hmm. waves we were concerned about that were yet to come. And I got to tell you, wow, you talk about a change in vibe, literally.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I know you've pointed this out before, something that I said on the air, I was doing afternoons then,
mm-hmm.
okay? So the previous day, September 10th, I literally said, you know, and I was doing some lighter stories and joking around, right. and I go, this is a clear example of a slow news day.
Boy, did it change.
And boy, will I never say slow news day again. Mm-hmm. Not that that has anything to do with it, but it...
Perspective.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should be happy. You
yes.
want slow news days
yes,
always.
Do. Even if it's a little more work for us.
Yeah.
I was on live in St. Louis with a morning partner at the Christian music station there, and our news gal was in a different room, but we had a little speaker kind of below the console, and she could talk to us to give us heads up on stuff going on. And she said, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And we thought, just like what you said, everybody else thought, wow, some errant pilot, you know, mm-hmm. we've seen it, the little plane, a little Cessna, you know, ran into this
maybe
thing.
Maybe a medical situation.
Exactly. And, yeah, boy, again, it changed. Now, and we, you and I have talked about this. The biggest weird thing living in, you were, what, in Orlando at the time?
Yes.
I was in St. Louis. International airports.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, bit by bit, and you can go back and you can watch the map of each dot that is a plane as they're landing. They're bringing everything down.
Nobody's taking off.
We are just miles from an international airport,
mm-hmm.
and there's nobody in the sky for days. That's, you don't realize how much you just take that for granted.
Yeah, same thing in Orlando, and I do remember that was one of those crisp days. It was sort of like a real fall day for Florida.
Yeah, right.
A real kind of fall, this first really super clear, crisp
mm-hmm.
kind of a day. It was like a most the best day as far as weather. It was unbelievably clear. And yeah, and then it all, you know, went from there. And gosh, I ended up working here, but less than about a month later, something like that.
Really? The other weird thing that you were talking about how it changed, and we weren't sure what was happening, when it was going to end. I know in St. Louis, and I'm sure it was the same way across the country, parents were they were leaving their jobs and going getting their children and going home because they did not know. They did not want their kids to be separate from them that day. I mean, I couldn't tell you how it was just crazy. The kids getting sent home with their parents. And I don't blame them, you know. So.
And here's the thing. Those of us who were of an age that they can remember, I would imagine anybody who was 10 or 12, certainly if you were 14 years old at the time, it's probably just burned into your memory like it is for the rest of us. Mm-hmm. But there is a whole younger generation that has grown up and that are adults now. This was 23 years ago.
Right.
So that are adults now and don't have the same kind of feeling. They might understand it historically, but as time goes by, I don't know exactly what they're teaching in school, how this is talked about. And so last night in the debate would have been a great opportunity to bring up something very tragic that happened to our country for a lot of reasons, including, hey, it brought everybody together. So there can be unity would be part of the message. Hey, America does have enemies that do want to harm us, but overridingly, one of the most vulnerable situations that we find ourselves in, and it's self-inflicted via the Biden administration, is the open borders.
Yeah.
And that's probably why David Muir chose not to bring up 9/11.
But I wish Donald Trump had.
Yes.
In relation to the border.
Absolutely. And, you know, he covered some of the other things that are talked about all the time, and you don't always talk about 9/11, but when it is appropriate in terms of, you know, this was the day before, you know, the anniversary of 9/11. Yes, absolutely should have been brought up. And that, I think, would resonate even with low information voters. If you said, look, prior to 9/11, we never conceived of something so terrible to occur.
Right.
But we're post 9/11. And at the same time, you've got some leadership like Joe Biden reversing executive orders to open the borders, knowing that they're overrun. Many people coming in unfettered and unvetted. This is a recipe for disaster. The other one we didn't see coming. This one we can. And it's self-inflicted. We did it on purpose. And when I say we, I mean the Biden administration. And he really, that could have been a really defining, resonating moment, even for the low information voters. And it's hard to reach them and to stimulate them to the point to where not only are they starting to get some clarity of thought there, but they're getting some truth instead of just being fed, you know, sweetened porridge by the lefty media.
You know, and I know it's a little bit of a trail, but it kind of shows, unfortunately, what the swamp can do and how quickly it can change. You were talking earlier, what would it take for us to get back to how close we were immediately after? Because at that point, it didn't matter if you were a Republican, a Democrat, or a whatever, you were an American. It only took, though, 2 or 3 years, because I knew a pastor who was invited to come speak. Only 2 or 3 years after the incident itself, he was told that you can mention God, you can't mention Jesus.
When he was going to speak at a 9/11 type event.
The swamp mentality of, okay, we're going to get back to, we don't want to be too religious. You can mention God, generic G, little G, whatever, but it's like it suddenly you really couldn't be who you were. Now, if you were of those other faiths that were there, you could do whatever you want. But we've seen that many times in our country where a kid wears a American flag to school. Okay, you can't do that. But it just shows how even when it comes to Christianity, despite our Judeo-Christian foundations, there's always that little bit of anti thing that's underlying there in the swamp.
I'm still amazed that you guys were on the air at a Christian station when news was breaking about 9/11, and one of you didn't shout out, Jesus Christ, what just happened?
Or if we had, it would have been a legit question.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ?
What
happened?
What just happened?
Would you tell us so we can tell everybody else?
Of course I meant it that way.
Of course.
How else would I mean it?
Absolutely.
Slightly.
Slightly.
I was a victim of circumstance. It is 8:45. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about, including a conversation we're going to have with Florida's Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson and some interesting things he'll share with us. It's coming up on 97.3 The Sky. $8.50 on the Bob Rose Show. 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. Greg Cassidy is here as well. It is 9/11. Remember, 23 years ago. Think about how your life has changed over that time. Last night, big debate. This could factor into how our lives will change over the next so many years, right? A poll shows that former President Donald Trump has made significant gains with independents and Hispanics, going up 14 points. 14 points with independents and 19 points with Hispanics. Now, this poll was taken between September 3rd and 5th. It'll be interesting moving forward as polls come out to see if any of the polls change to benefit Trump or to benefit Kamala Harris. And just looking at it, you know, from what I saw last night, watching it this morning, listening to some of the talking heads, sifting through more information, perception is reality. Reality, Trump won because his policies and his substance are real. Kamala's are not. However, again, perception is reality, smoke and mirrors, whatever you'd like to term it. In the eyes and ears of the low-information voter, I think that Kamala won the day. I'm qualifying it that way, okay? Because remember, the bar was low for her. You string a couple sentences together, you don't cackle every other sentence, you are in.
She now, pulled that off.
Yes, she did. And yes, it sounded very well rehearsed, absolutely. But remember, we know we peeked behind the curtain. We've seen the Wizard of Oz at work, okay? But low information voters have not. I mean, they still go to maybe ABC, you know, World News Tonight, like it's like it has some level of, you know, integrity and credibility and is not politically biased. But we know better. We know better. You know better. I know better. But remember, what we're talking about, what's at stake here, are these ride the fence kind of folks. They're just not sure. Maybe they've leaned one way or another. Maybe they have family members that try to influence them. Maybe the influence of the pocketbook and the high inflation and energy prices is possibly impacting them and causing them to think or rethink their positions. Maybe the abortion thing resonates with them, you know, positive or negatively. But there can't be, it just can't possibly be a huge amount of people we're talking about. How can it be? I mean, we talk about how divided this nation is. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't leave a lot of people in that middle ground. And I don't know how they could be.
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
Some of these issues are pretty well defined. I mean, are you for the idea of open borders? Because this did not happen by mistake. And that's important. You know, it just didn't happen. Now, COVID just happened. That happened. And so whoever had the job at that time was going to have a tough going. But the borders didn't just happen. That was reversal of Trump's executive orders, putting in new executive orders. You don't remain in Mexico waiting your asylum hearing. You come right on in. We'll give you a date a couple years in the future, maybe. If you show up, great. If you don't, whatever. They were flying people in from all over the world. It didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen without the help of NGOs, of literally going out of their way to send people, because this was not a caravan or two coming even from South or Central America, although that was all part of it. But when you start seeing Chinese nationals, people from the African continent showing up on our borders, there's no way that you can say it's organic in any way. You're opening this nation up and making us vulnerable, and people are suffering as a result. All right, let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and talk to Peasant with a Pitchfork. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. I watched the debate last night. I think Trump won, and I think Kamala kept throwing out that she's a prosecutor. She's a prosecutor. I don't think that's going to help her with the liberals, because she threw a lot of people in jail over the marijuana issue, and Trump has come out for legalization. And I know Wilton Simpson and the attorney general were opposed to that, and they tried to get the Supreme Court of the state of Florida to stop that, so the two-thirds of the people of this state that wanted to vote for it couldn't vote for it. And I know Wilton Simpson's coming on, and maybe you could ask him what he thinks. Is he still going to vote for Trump? Because Trump's come out hardcore for that Amendment 3. But I think Kamala being a prosecutor and prosecuting all those people in California on the marijuana charges is not going to help her in this election at all.
Well, I think that people's memory of her in California may be accurate, but that's not going to hurt her because she'll carry California.
Yeah.
But really, I'd be more concerned, and I think as of late, if you're following it, you'd know that she was behind like the bailing out of people who are burning our cities down. So, yeah, she'll try to have it both ways when it works politically for her. What else is new, right? 9 o'clock stretch is coming up, and we're going to talk to the Ag Commissioner, Wilton Simpson, next. Let's make it a great day. Come on. It's a somber day, though, nonetheless. It is 8:21, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. 9/11 remembered. Can you believe it? 23 years has passed. And we'll mark it at 8:46, 25 minutes from now, 24 minutes, Flight 11. It's when it crashed into the World Trade Center's North Tower. Of course, all the passengers on board instantly killed. Employees of the World Trade Center are trapped above the 91st floor. When that information first came out, I think Americans were shocked, but maybe not overly concerned. Looks like somebody probably took a small plane. Perhaps the guy had a heart attack. Something happened. Tragic nonetheless, but nothing that's going to change your daily routine.
Or the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And now we know it turned out differently. All right. Good morning. Welcome. And, Greg, I want to get your take on a bunch of stuff as well.
Sure.
But let me, I just want to go back a little bit, because Congresswoman Kat Kamick and I really agreed that, you know, something was missing in the debate. Mm-hmm. And one of those things was any question pertaining to 9/11 when it was on the eve of the anniversary. And are you telling me that voters have forgotten about it? I don't agree with that. Do you think younger voters are as familiar with it as they should be? No, I don't think they are. So it would serve a couple of purposes by bringing up 9/11. And I can tell you why they didn't. Think about it. If you're skewed and biased the way that David Muir and Lindsay Davis were, and ABC News is, and even RFK Jr. said, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
They were clearly biased, okay?
Uh-huh.
So when you put all that together, why no 9/11 question? Here's why. It's the same reason that the media wouldn't jump on the fentanyl poisonings that were taking place by the tens of thousands early on when the borders were first open. They wouldn't talk about it the way they would normally because it is a big deal. It's a human interest story. It could be your college kid experimenting, taking a drug that he thinks is not that big a deal, and it turns out it's full of fentanyl, and he dies. So they couldn't talk about that because they knew most of that stuff's coming across the border, so we can't go there. It's the same thing with 9/11. So in a post-9/11 world, shouldn't we be concerned about terrorists coming into the country? I mean, it's pretty hard right now to control that using the visa system and other things to try to get background information and, you know, and to try to vet some of these people. It's already difficult. And then you've got the terrorist watch list. Well, guess what? When they opened the borders, yeah, they caught a few people that were on the terrorist watch list. How many did they not catch? Because they knew the borders would be overrun and that our border patrol would be overrun. Mm-hmm. And not just physically, overrun with paperwork and cleanup and housing people and doing that kind of almost domestic duties instead of protecting the border. So you can't ask about really 9/11 mm-hmm. and not talk about the current true state of affairs when it comes to national security. And that would lead to saying, Kamala, you know that this would be the easiest way to close the border, an executive order yep. based on national security. That's when the executive branch has the most power, when there truly is a national security issue. And who could deny that? Nobody could.
Well, we don't even have to worry about the paperwork you mentioned, Bob. If you got the app, you're in.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other thing.
So.
But the other part of this is, in this equation, mm-hmm. is Iran was rendered pretty much impotent during Trump's time in office.
Yes.
One of the reasons why was, well, he wasn't continuing to give him money from some frozen account or anything else. He also got us so energy independent, brought the cost of energy down, that Iran couldn't make nearly the kind of profits that they are now.
Right.
And so you have all this additional funding to do what? They're the state, number one state sponsor of terrorism. You talk about 9/11, you have to talk about terrorism. If you talk about terrorism, you have to talk about Iran. No matter how you slice it and dice it, anything related to 9/11, anything would benefit former President Trump and would definitely be a bad mark on Kamala.
Hmm.
You can't be for open borders and also be for national security. It's impossible.
No.
It's impossible. And I don't know if you heard Congresswoman Kat Kamick talking about real life, real bad people that they already know are in this country. I mean, what did it take? 19 to wreak havoc?
Mm-hmm.
What if there's something slightly more organized? What ran through my mind when I was having that conversation with her was that, is this going to be part of the October surprise?
Mm.
Will there be some level of a concerted effort to, let's just say, go to polling places and shoot the place up?
All you'd have to do is go to one.
Well,
or two or three,
you know, major cities, and then maybe a small town,
just to stir everybody up.
Well, to create fear and panic, and I'm not going to go out and vote. It'll be maybe too late to mail in your ballot. And who always votes the latest? Republicans always. So, you know, on the actual election day, or you know, the weekdays previous when there's early voting, something occurs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not that far fetched. It is 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The fracking, the big fracking lie she keeps telling. We'll get into that and more coming up. All right. Never miss a minute of the Bob Rose Show on demand 24/7. Subscribe to the Bob Rose Show podcast. You can do it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, it's our music.
Yeah.
We got to keep it rolling. It is 8:35. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 9/11 remembered. Let's not lose sight. Let's always remember. And just a few minutes from now, 8:46, when Flight 11 crashed in the World Trade Center, the North Building, and that's, you know, when people were still scratching their head.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonder what that's all about.
Where were you at that exact moment?
I was in the doctor's office when my, you know, my former wife was getting, basically, I believe, getting a cast off for a broken ankle.
Oh.
And we knew the doctor, Dr. Nowicki, because I played softball with him for Orlando Orthopedic.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know each other. And because my wife worked in the medical industry. Anyway, you know, he comes in and he goes, hey, this bizarre random thing. I guess some kind of plane flew into the World Trade Center.
Mm.
And I go, wow, like a big plane? He goes, yeah, they're not really saying.
Right.
So, and then they come back in again a few minutes later and go, hey, another plane hit the South Tower. That's something real. By the time we got back down to the car, we had already cut away on the station I worked for, DBO in Orlando, to ABC News, you know, kind of wall-to-wall coverage at that point. And actually, it was Peter Jennings still on the air, if you remember him. And he was the one that was, you know, breaking it live and on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to say initially. Your brain is going, we haven't been here before.
Right.
This is new.
Right.
What am I to make of this? You know? And your brain starts to run through this gamut of things that it's familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just a simple plane crash now.
Right.
It's two. This would appear to be a concerted effort. This mm-hmm. sounds like terrorism. And then your brain starts to race and goes into, well, do you think it's just New York and just the World Trade Center?
Exactly.
Is it going to be a bunch of planes going down into big buildings and large cities,
mm-hmm.
et cetera? And yeah, the mind just really starts to race. And I recall days afterwards, there was still a feeling with most people that it wasn't over yet.
Right.
There were still additional mm-hmm. waves we were concerned about that were yet to come. And I got to tell you, wow, you talk about a change in vibe, literally.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I know you've pointed this out before, something that I said on the air, I was doing afternoons then,
mm-hmm.
okay? So the previous day, September 10th, I literally said, you know, and I was doing some lighter stories and joking around, right. And I said, I go, this is a clear example of a slow news day.
Boy, did it change.
And boy, will I never say slow news day again. Mm-hmm. Not that that has anything to do with it, but it...
Perspective.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should be happy. You
yes.
want slow news days
yes,
always.
Even if it's a little more work for us.
Yeah.
I was on live in St. Louis with a morning partner at the Christian music station there, and our news gal was in a different room, but we had a little speaker kind of below the console, and she could talk to us to give us heads up on stuff going on. And she said, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And we thought, just like what you said, everybody else thought, wow, some errant pilot, you know, mm-hmm. we've seen it, the little plane, a little Cessna, you know, ran into this
maybe
thing.
Maybe a medical situation.
Exactly. And, yeah, boy, again, it changed. Now, you and I have talked about this. The biggest weird thing living in, you were what, in Orlando at the time?
Yes.
I was in St. Louis. International airports.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, bit by bit, and you can go back and you can watch the map of each dot that is a plane as they're landing. They're bringing everything
nobody's
down.
Nobody's taking off.
We are just miles from an international airport,
mm-hmm.
and there's nobody in the sky for days. That's, you don't realize how much you just take that for granted.
Yeah, same thing in Orlando, and I do remember that was one of those crisp days. It was sort of like a real fall day for Florida.
Yeah, right.
A real kind of fall, this first really super clear, crisp
mm-hmm.
kind of a day. It was like a most the best day as far as weather. It was unbelievably clear. And then it all, you know, went from there. And gosh, I ended up working here, but less than about a month later, something like that.
Really? The other weird thing that you were talking about, how it changed, and we weren't sure what was happening, when it was going to end. I know in St. Louis, and I'm sure it was the same way across the country, parents were they were leaving their jobs and going, getting their children and going home,
mm-hmm.
because they did not know, they did not want their kids to be separate. From them that
yep.
day. I mean, I couldn't tell you how it was just crazy. The kids getting sent home with their parents. And I don't blame them, you know. So.
And here's the thing: those of us who were of an age that they can remember, I would imagine anybody who was 10 or 12, certainly if you're 14 years old at the time, it's probably just burned into your memory like it is for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a whole younger generation that has grown up and that are adults now. This was 23 years ago.
Right.
So that are adults now and don't have the same kind of feeling. They might understand it historically, but as time goes by, I don't know exactly what they're teaching in school, how mm-hmm. this is talked about. And so last night in the debate would have been a great opportunity to bring up something very tragic that happened to our country for a lot of reasons, including, hey, it brought everybody together. So
right.
there can be unity would be part of the message. Hey, America does have enemies that do want to harm us, but overridingly, one of the most vulnerable situations that we find ourselves in, and it's self-inflicted via the Biden administration, is the open borders.
Yeah.
And that's probably why David Muir chose
yes.
not to bring up 9/11.
But I wish Donald Trump had.
Yes.
In relation to the border.
Absolutely. And, you know, he covered some of the other things that are talked about all the time, and you don't always talk about 9/11, but when it is appropriate in terms of, you know, this was the day before, mm-hmm. you know, the anniversary
right.
of 9/11. Yes, absolutely should have been brought up. And that, I think, would resonate even with low-information voters. If you said, look, prior to 9/11, we never conceived of something so terrible to occur.
Right.
But we're post-9/11. And at the same time, you've got some leadership like Joe Biden reversing executive orders to open the borders, knowing that they're overrun. Many people coming in unfettered and unvetted. This is a recipe for disaster. The other one we didn't see coming. This one we can, and it's self-inflicted. We did it on purpose. And when I say we, I mean the Biden administration. And he really, that could have been a really defining, resonating moment, even for the low information mm-hmm. voters. And it's hard to reach them and to stimulate them to the point to where not only are they starting to get some clarity of thought there, but they're getting some truth instead of just being fed, you know,
right.
sweetened porridge by the lefty media.
You know, I know it's a little bit of a trail, but it kind of shows, unfortunately, what the swamp can do and how quickly it can change. You were talking earlier, what would it take for us to get back to how close we were immediately after? Because at that point, it didn't matter if you were a Republican, a Democrat, or a whatever, you were an American. It only took, though, 2 or 3 years, because I knew a pastor who was invited to, mm-hmm. to come speak, only 2 or 3 years after the incident itself, he was told that you can mention God, you can't mention Jesus.
When he was going to speak
yes.
at a 9/11
yes.
type event.
The swamp mentality of, okay, we're going to get back to, we don't want to be too religious. You can mention God, generic G, little g, whatever, but it's like it suddenly you really couldn't be who you were. Now, if you were of those other faiths that were there, you could do whatever you want. But we've seen that many times in our country where a kid wears a American flag to school. Okay, you can't do that. But it just shows how even when it comes to Christianity, despite our Judeo-Christian foundations, there's always that little bit of anti thing that's underlying there in the swamp.
I'm still amazed that you guys were on the air at a Christian station when news was breaking about 9/11, and one of you didn't shout out, Jesus Christ, what just happened?
Or if we had, it would have been a legit question.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ?
What
happened?
What just happened?
Would you tell us so we can tell everybody else?
Of course I meant it that way.
Of course.
How else would I mean it?
Absolutely.
Slightly.
Slightly.
I was a victim of circumstance. It is 8:45. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about, including a conversation we're going to have with Florida's Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson and some interesting things he'll share with us. It's coming up on 97.3 The Sky. On the Bob Rose Show. 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. Greg Cassidy is here as well. It is 9/11, remember, 23 years ago. Think about how your life has changed over that time. Last night, big debate. This could factor into how our lives will change over the next so many years, right? A poll shows that former President Donald Trump has made significant gains with independents and Hispanics, going up 14 points with independents and 19 points with Hispanics. Now, this poll was taken between September 3rd and 5th. It'll be interesting moving forward as polls come out to see if any of the polls change to benefit Trump or to benefit Kamala Harris. And just looking at it, you know, from what I saw last night, watching it this morning, listening to some of the talking heads, sifting through more information, perception is reality. Reality, Trump won because his policies and his substance are real. Kamala's are not. However, again, perception is reality, smoke and mirrors, whatever you'd like to term it. In the eyes and ears of the low information voter, I think that Kamala won the day. I'm qualifying it that way. Okay? Because remember, the bar was low for her. You string a couple sentences together, you don't cackle every other sentence.
Yeah.
You are in.
She pulled that off.
Yes, she did. And yes, it sounded very well rehearsed. Absolutely. But remember, we know we've peeked behind the curtain. We've seen the Wizard of Oz at work. Mm-hmm. Okay. But low information voters have not. I mean, they still go to maybe ABC, you know, World News Tonight, like it's, you know, like it has some level of, you know, integrity and credibility and is not politically biased. But we know better. We know better. You know better. I know better. But remember what we're talking about. What's at stake here are these ride the fence kind of folks. They're just not sure. Maybe they've leaned one way or another. Maybe they have family members that try to influence them. Maybe the influence of the pocketbook and the high inflation and energy prices is possibly impacting them and causing them to think or rethink their positions. Maybe the abortion thing resonates with them, you know, positive or negatively. But there can't be, it just can't possibly be a huge amount of people we're talking about. How can it be? I mean, we talk about how divided this nation is. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't leave a lot of people in that middle ground. And I don't know how they could be.
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
Some of these issues are pretty well defined. I mean, are you for the idea of open borders? Because this did not happen by mistake. And that's important. You know, it just didn't happen. Now, COVID just happened. That happened. And so whoever had the job at that time was going to have a tough going. But the borders didn't just happen. That was reversal of Trump's executive orders, putting in new executive orders. You don't remain in Mexico waiting your asylum hearing. You come right on in. We'll give you a date a couple years in the future, maybe. If you show up, great. If you don't, whatever. They were flying people in from all over the world. It didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen without the help of NGOs. Of literally going out of their way to send people, because this was not a caravan or two coming even from South or Central America, although that was all part of it. But when you start seeing Chinese nationals, people from the African continent showing up on our borders, There's no way that you can say it's organic in any way. You're opening this nation up and making us vulnerable, and people are suffering as a result. All right, let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and talk to Peasant with a Pitchfork. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. I watched the debate last night, and I think Trump won. And I think Kamala kept throwing out that she's a prosecutor, she's a prosecutor. I don't think that's going to help her with the liberals, because she threw a lot of people in jail over the marijuana issue. And Trump has come out for legalization. And I know Wilton Simpson and the attorney general were opposed to that, and they tried to get the Supreme Court of the state of Florida to stop that so the two-thirds of the people of this state that wanted to vote for it couldn't vote for it. And I know Wilton Simpson's coming on, and maybe you could ask him what he thinks. Is he still going to vote for Trump? Because Trump's come out hardcore for that Amendment 3. And but I think Kamala being a prosecutor and prosecuting all those people in California on the marijuana charges is not going to help her in this election at all.
Well, I think that people's memory of her in California may be accurate, but that's not going to hurt her because she'll carry California.
Yeah.
But really, I'd be more concerned, and I think as of late, if you're following it, you'd know that she was behind like the bailing out of people who are burning our cities down. So, yeah, she'll try to have it both ways when it works politically for her. What else is new, right? 9 o'clock stretch is coming up, and we're going to talk to the Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson next.